1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by a grand opening coming soon for your new favorite theater, Movie Tavern in Brookfield Square. Marcus Theater, because movies never tasted so good.
Time to get down to brass tacks about music. For that, we bring in the pro, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
We're all right.
Moments after we spoke last week and we knew that Eddie Money wasn't doing well, you had given us an update on it. We found out that he had passed away.
Right. Right. And then just 2 days later, we lost Rick Ocasek from the Cars. So it was quite a weekend last weekend. And we're still kind of reeling from it. People are still talking about it. You know, these were two artists who were very much part of the fabric of rock music, you know, deeply, deeply interwoven into it. So I think there was a real profound sense of loss with these guys. Rest assured, we are still consuming their music, though. The Cars catalog was up 2,662% in the few days following Rick Ocasek's death last Sunday, whereas Eddie Money's catalog was up 931%.
That's pretty standard issue, though, when somebody passes away, that there's a big surge on their music.
Yeah, there's a surge, people, and especially in the streaming age, you know, it's even more pronounced now. I mean, Take Me Home Tonight was up 349% all by itself.
Well, Fox was playing them for bumper music in the doubleheader game of the football games last weekend.
Right.
That's how I figured out Rick Ocasek had passed away.
Yeah, and that just kind of that popped like they do. They popped up on Sunday. That one was completely unexpected. Like you said, we knew Eddie Money wasn't doing well, but we hadn't heard much from Ocasek. He had, you know, we saw him at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in 2018, and then hadn't heard much. Turned out he had heart issues, and wound up passing away. Left behind a last doodle. Apparently, he was a great doodler, and family, you know, for friends and family. And I guess there was one last one that it looks like he did sometime during the weekend before he passed away, you know, and so he doodled a picture, and it's the message on it was, keep on laughing, it is what it is.
He was home recovering from surgery.
From heart, yes. Yes, and just, you know.
So, but he had done his time in the hospital, and they cleared him to go home, and he went home.
You know, so who knows? Nobody knows. Nobody is really saying exactly what they knew or didn't know or expected or if he was considered terminal.
I thought like a dummy when Eddie Money passed away. I thought, well, they're not going to air any more Real Money. No, Axis went wall-to-wall Real Money all last weekend.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, with concert specials, and they re-aired the big interview. And I guess there were 5 more episodes shot for the latest season, and those will air. You know, I guess they're gonna do some judicious editing to them. But we will see, you know, the last episodes that he made of Real Money, and then see if the show does go on. Personally, I don't think the family is all that interesting without him around. But, you know, stranger things have happened on TV.
Boy, that's a stretch. I didn't think they were interesting with him around, to tell you the truth.
Then there's that. You know, don't be surprised if you see the kids go out on some sort of tribute tour. You know, that's because they've been part of the show, and in fact, they do the heavy lifting in the shows. So they may well try to squeeze a tribute tour out of this.
All right, there's a couple stories out about Taylor Swift this week.
Yeah, there's actually a few even. First of all, she is starting to leak out concert dates for next year. So far she's only announced 2 shows in Los Angeles and 2 at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough near Boston. That's where the Patriots play. Those are 2 stadium dates. She also announced some European dates, and they're going to be, you know, there will be additional dates and festivals announced soon. I have a feeling she's not going to do like a full-blown tour, but rather she'll do a couple dates in key stadiums, and you can come to her. So she'll play regionally, like, you know, or in the Midwest, it may be a couple Chicago shows, you know, at Soldier Field or something like that. And then, you know, that'll serve Milwaukee and Detroit and some of the environs. We'll see as she gets around to it. She is also going to be returning to The Voice as a mega mentor, as they call them, and she's going to help the coaches prepare their charges for the knockout round.
So a mega mentor, that means Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson and Gwen Stefani, they're just mentors?
No, they're judges.
Judges. Okay, judges. So.
Different. Mm. And then the other story, interesting story that surfaced about Taylor this week is she did an interview talking more about her relationship with Kanye West and, you know, why they actually kind of made good with each other, and then, you know, in the end it went sour again. she kind of called Kanye as two-faced, and when she gave him the MTV Video Music Vanguard Award, which was seen as a real making up, you know, according to her in the interview, Kanye called to ask her, but at the show itself, made a big deal out of saying, "Oh, look, you know, MTV got Taylor Swift to, you know, to do this for me," and you know, she just wasn't having it. So.
All right, there's Tom Petty news, too.
What? Yeah, just a little thing. A couple of things. One is that his ex-wife, has purchased his childhood home back in Florida, in Gainesville, Florida, Jane Benio Petty, who was married with him from 74 to 96, so, you know, before he became a big star. And she's also from Gainesville. She purchased the house for $175,000. And she actually bought it. There was another guy in town.
You know what we call it? You know what they call that in the Petty household? $175,000.
That's not even pocket change.
Petty cash.
Yes.
Come on.
Good. I should have had that.
Thank you.
All right. Well done. We're giving you the golf clap.
I'm looking at a picture of it.
Yeah, but I guess there was a guy who was bidding on it and wanted to turn it into a Petty museum. But when he heard that it was Jane, you know, his first wife buying it, he backed off and let her have it. So we'll see what she does with it. In the meantime, Paul Zollo, who was a writer very close to Tom Petty and had published a book a few years ago called Conversations with Tom Petty, he's going to be putting out an expanded edition with more interviews, you know, some unpublished photos and things like that, and that's coming in February. So you can look for that.
Is that a reissue?
It's an expanded reissue.
Okay.
The original book came out in 2005.
Are they really going to do a Whitney Houston tour of her as a hologram? It would seem like a movie theater would be a better experience. But tell me about it.
It'll be Whitney's hologram with a live band. It's going to kick off January 23rd in Mexico. And then it's going to play in the UK as well as North America. It's called An Evening with Whitney, the Whitney Houston Hologram Tour. So at least you know up front what you're getting.
What are the five most dangerous songs to have on in the car while you're driving?
While you're driving, yeah. This is a new study that came out to determine the most dangerous and the safest. Most dangerous being the songs that seem to make people speed up and change lanes. Green Day's American Idiot is number one, followed by Miley Cyrus' Party in the USA, Killers' Mr. Brightside, The Chainsmokers' Don't Let Me Down, and Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. The five safest songs, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven,
really?
Red Hot Chili Peppers' Under the Bridge, Drake's God's Plan, Africa by Toto, and Location by Khalid.
You mentioned this story, I just somehow thought, some Little River Band song would be really safe.
Some of that, but I guess there's the most dangerous,
Reminiscent.
Safest, and the ones that put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Who did this study?
You know what? I have not seen who did this. I picked it up off a news story off the wire, and it did not say where the study came from. It is a U.S. study.
All right. Are you checking out Ken Burns' country music?
Yeah. I actually had it a few weeks back because I interviewed him. So I got a chance to take a look at it, and it's fabulous.
How many episodes is that?
It would be 10, right?
10. We had four this week. It's back Sunday night.
Right. And then, you know, there are a couple of them, you know, are a couple hours long. I think the last one's 2.5 hours long. But, boy, is it good.
Is there anything
So the Nashvillians didn't want country music there to begin with?
Right. Yeah, they were a high society there.
They thought it was a clown show. They hated it.
Yeah, they objected to it and actually fought it, I'm sure that they are, you know, even the spirits now are happy that they are Music City.
Is there anything to this point, and I've only seen the first four episodes, that you didn't know in there? I had no idea that Ralph Stanley, or not Ralph Stanley, who's the father of bluegrass?
Bill Monroe.
That he was, man, was he was kind of an asshole, right?
Yeah,
he had feuds with everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of those guys did. I mean, it was the wild, you know, this was the Wild West in music. So yeah, they, you know, there were some ornery coots in Nashville, in country music, and there still are. So there's, you know, stuff I did. There's a lot of stuff I was reminded of. And yeah, there's certainly stuff I didn't know what, you know, Brian just mentioned just about Nashville society. I really didn't know a lot about that. You know, and boy, they laid that out, and it was fascinating. So I think, you know, and I can tell you, you know, as it gets more contemporary, you know, I think that'll appeal to more and more people. But it's a great series through and through.
I guess I didn't learn anything about Hank. I mean, I knew that he was a fairly unhappy guy. Not that he was unpleasant; he was just unhappy. So I didn't really learn anything there.
Yeah, he's been documented, you know, to such an extent that you know, if anybody who paid attention a lot, you know, wouldn't learn anything. You're going to learn what you're going to see in this coming week. Really, is stuff about the growth of country as an industry and some of the record company politics and machinations, and you know, things on the radio side. That's all very fascinating too.
Oh, here's one: Willie Nelson. Willie was always strapped for cash. You saw this, right?
Right.
Willie was always short on money, so Willie would sell his rights to songs, and Willie lost probably millions over the course of years doing that.
No,
he would sell them for like $500 to somebody because he needed money now. So he was going to sell the rights to, it wasn't Crazy, was it? What song was it?
I think it was.
No, it was the song that Farron Young, Hello Walls.
Okay, I mean.
Hello Walls, a Farron Young song. He said to Farron Young, give me $500 right now and I'll give you the writing credits. And Farron Young said, Willie, I'll loan you $500, but you can't sell the rights to this song, because he knew Willie was wasting money.
Right.
So Willie gets his first royalty check for Hello Walls, and it's $14,000.
Yep.
He went down to Tootsie's and kissed Farron Young on the mouth, to which Farron Young said, it's the best kiss I ever had.
That was even before Willie was as deep into the weed as he is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could have been a shotgun, you know, if he waited.
So there is a lot of interesting stuff.
Great anecdotes, and you know, I mean, I think, you know, a guy like Ken Burns walks in with such a reputation. These people come in willing to open the faucet.
Well, if you're not going to, for Ken Burns, for a documentary, for like a 36-hour documentary on country music, what's the point, right?
Exactly.
All right. Finally, we're getting out. We're really late on time. What's the last story?
Closing, well, I should know, you know, since we started with death, we should maybe bookend it. And remember that it was 46 years ago today that Jim Croce died in a plane crash in Louisiana. You know, he had performed that night, and he was scheduled to play the next day. In Dallas, he had to get there early because they scheduled a last-minute second show for him, and it was pilot error. You know, ran into the only tree in the field that was there, and he passed away at the age of 30 with, you know, looked like with a career that was already in liftoff and looked like it was only going to get bigger.
Like, how many years was he really on the
about
charts?
Three.
How many?
About three.
Yeah. Really? Wow. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Well, right in there with Patsy Cline and Hank Sr.
Yep, his son AJ carries the torch and does a good job.
All right, Gary,
thanks,
we're out
Gary.
Of time.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Gary Graff, he's our music expert.